tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Johnson. Oh,
TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
You ready?
Let's do it.
We're about to get in this fight. Welcome to the Biggest Loser After Show. This is season 17, episode 2. I'm your host, Fallon. Welcome. I'm returning with my co-host, Shaka. How are you?
I'm doing well. Nice to see you guys.
And Chris will be on his way. He's at the gym. I mean, I couldn't blame him. He wanted to burn some fat before he got here. So, you know, I got my session in early. So did Shaka. So we'll be waiting on Chris. Thanks for returning this season. You guys can find me online at fitwithfallon.com and fitwithfallon on Instagram and Twitter. And where can they find you, Shaka?
Shaka Strong on Twitter and Instagram.
Now, this episode, we have a lot to talk about because it wasn't just one episode. It was back-to-back episodes. Yeah. So it was a full 2 hours for us fans to indulge in. And a lot transpired. And unfortunately, more than one person went home.
Yeah,
but that was
sad.
Expected because, you know,
two episodes.
So let's just kind of recap. What did you think? Did these two episodes really do it for you, or do you think they could have just gave us one? Do you think it was that impactful, that great that they had to do two?
I loved it. It put me on an emotional roller coaster because both episodes had different kind of takes. You know, it was like the first episode was like, "I'm not really, what's Dalvet doing?" And you know, by episode two, you're like, "Oh my god, Dalvet's awesome!" And,
yeah,
you know, he's really, you know, taking responsibility. So, yeah, I kind of loved having the double header.
I like that this episode was more about the food temptation challenge. And I think that's something that I, even as a trainer, I struggle with. You know, even we were sitting backstage and I'm like, I want a cupcake. Yeah. And in my head, I'm like, don't eat the cupcake. You're doing so good. You know what I mean? Right. So I think it's real that they're showing different temptations when it comes to food because it's something that we all, you know, face and have trouble with. So let's talk about the food challenge. And this is what I loved because I'm obsessed with counting calories. I know it's not a good thing. It could drive you crazy, but I think it's important. You know, even my clients, I think it's important for you to know what you're eating and how many calories you're in, you know, you're eating because it could look innocent. But as we saw today, looks can be so deceiving.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not a calorie counter, but it was good for them to see what it is they're actually eating. Because even though I don't count calories, I know what I'm eating. I know what's good.
Do you count fat? Do you count anything?
I don't look at any metrics.
You're a pro.
Well, I stick to clean food. Yeah, I stick to clean food. So, but I wouldn't have done that had I known. Because I remember I used to eat some of these foods all the time.
Yeah.
You know? And now you go, oh my God, that's what I was actually putting in my stomach.
Like the mac and cheese. That
could you believe that?
Oh, wow. I could not believe that it was just, you just think like a little bit of, you know, cheese, a little bit of butter.
Pasta, it's not that bad.
No.
Yeah, it was like double everything that was there.
Yeah. And you're talking about thousands and thousands of calories that you're intaking. That's more than what you should be consuming in a day. Yeah. And what's even more scary, especially when they did the school lunch.
Oh my God, the nachos. I hated the nachos growing up as a kid. I hated them.
You?
Yeah, much less now. So
I love the nachos, even movie nachos. That's like my guilty pleasure in donuts.
Credit to Dalvet for taking one for the team and eating those nachos.
See, I thought he was lying. I thought he really liked the nachos, but he was trying to like play it cool.
Though I hated those school nachos.
Did
those were awful. Yeah.
That's funny. Or what did you think about Jen eating? What did she? She took the mac and cheese.
Yeah.
See, I would have took the team. I would have took the mac and cheese.
Yeah, it was a lot of calories mentally, but I think it probably wasn't the worst experience to eat it. So.
Yeah. Do you think that any of these I guess contestants on the show, do you think they're really taking in the knowledge that they're learning, or are they just saying, you know, this is a fun challenge, I need to learn what I need to learn, but they're not really soaking it in?
I think it might soak in a little bit later and down the line. What did clearly shock them was the fat when they were showing them the fat. That clearly had an effect on them.
Yeah.
But with the food, I think they already can kind of know that food is not great for them in the first place. So that'll take some time to solidify.
I really think it was important for them to take them to the autopsy room. And, you know, not only the fat, but I was really surprised with all that sugar.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Colby, yeah, just the amount of sugar
you know,
he was intaking.
Colby, they kind of broke it down for all, you know, the amount of juice that he drinks and candy and all that stuff. In a year, he is consuming, I think it was 400 pounds of sugar.
Astronomical
How do you
amount.
Eat 400 pounds? Pounds of sugar.
And I think it's easy these days because it's packed in so many different things. And, you know, an iced tea is just packed with tons of sugar these days. And, yeah, sports drinks and soda. So it's actually relatively easy and you have to watch. You know, you have to be careful.
It's just crazy. I think even that scared me.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow. Like, that's incredible between that, with the fat, and what else
yeah.
did
oh,
they do
and then
there?
How about what they did with Rob when they put up, you know,
oh,
what are
when
you doing
he was
on this
die.
Day?
Yeah. Oh, that what was... Do you think that was a little too much, or do you think that's like a wake-up call for real?
No, I mean, it's a wake-up call. It's not too much because it's reality. You know, it's his life, and that's what he needs maybe to motivate him to kind of, and it did motivate him. He was just like stunned to see it written out, you know?
Yeah. I think it was eye opening for everybody. And I think even for us viewers at home, you know, we don't really, I feel like we just go to with our day to day business. Oh, I'm eating this. And you know, you're not really thinking and you're not really thinking about your future and how the foods that we eat have an effect on our bodies. And you were telling me backstage, you're vegan.
Yeah.
So what made you turn vegan? Because that's intense. Kudos to that.
It's something I thought I never thought I would do. You know, I just thought, how ridiculous. But just the more I was seeing with people getting sick and a lot of people getting diagnosed with cancer, they were being advised to go on vegan diets.
Really?
Yeah. And then I saw a lot of raw vegans out there that were like, you know, 70s, 80s, but they looked 40s and 50s and had the energy of someone that was a lot younger. So it just ended up being what I thought is probably the most healthy lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So my first year I got rid of red meat. The second year I got rid of additional meat. This last year I was pescatarian.
I was going to ask that. A lot of people, they'll go pescatarian if they can't go
exactly.
all the way.
So yeah, I did it in stages and this year I'm vegan and then next year I'm going to go raw vegan. And then after that I'll make a decision as to how I want to move forward. But I wanted to get the spectrum of kind of diet.
Wow.
And then see what's livable and manageable for my life.
So what's the difference between a raw vegan and a vegan?
Well, a raw vegan doesn't heat up anything over 115 degrees to preserve the enzymes.
So, like, no microwave.
Yeah. I mean, you can, but you know, they'll whisk things highly, you know, with a Ninja or different kinds of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can make a soup based on, you know, the friction and how warm it can get. But yeah, you just don't heat, you use a lot of food dehydrators. Yeah.
How interesting. I know, I remember I read a study of a phlebotomist. No, not a phlebotomist. I'm trying to think of the word. You know, the funeral guys that they open you up.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, not a coroner.
Maybe one of those. Sorry. I'm a little out of it. But anyways, so, they did an autopsy on a couple, you know, whatever, hundreds of different types of people, whether they eat, meat or vegans. And what they noticed in the arteries, those who were vegan, they had arteries of, you know, like a 20-year-old or 15-year-old, and nothing was, there was no blockage, there was no anything like that. So it was amazing that, you know, you have these 70, 80-year-old, like you were saying, they look younger, but even when you open them up when they're dead, they look younger on
internally,
the inside.
And that's the important part.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Very interesting. I wonder if on Biggest Loser they're ever going to come across that topic. I think right now, you know, they're like, okay, we got to get you.
Well, yeah, baby steps. Exactly. Baby steps, yeah.
We'll stop with the sugar and the nachos and the macaroni and cheese. So maybe later on it will be a vegan diet. I know my mom, she has like a lung disease and somebody recommended a book for her that is for cancer patients. And it said the same thing to, you know, go vegan and do the juicing. And so it kind of
It's not easy, but it's definitely worth it for your health to at least play with and know about and try to do to some degree in your life.
Yeah.
You know, any element you add in is a positive thing.
Yeah. So we see during this whole food challenge, Delvet's team, you know, he's not doing too well. His team isn't as far as these weigh-ins and challenges. What's going on with Delvet's team?
Yeah, what an epic breakdown. But I think it was good to see that, you know, that they acknowledged there was a breakdown in the team when they had to vote Whitney off. And I think that heart-to-heart that Delvet has with the team, because I know Delvet has a big heart, but I didn't see it during the episodes. Mm-hmm. You know, I just saw him really just tearing into these people. And I was wondering, maybe he's doing it off-camera, maybe they're cutting it that way.
Yeah.
But I think clearly they were showing what was representative and that he wasn't really connecting with them on a deeper level.
And that's something that, again, as a trainer, I shy away from, because what I take into consideration is these people are already broken down. They're at their lowest. That's why they come to you to get trained. That's why they're on Biggest Loser.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really wasn't connecting with Delvet just as a viewer, watching him the way he was interacting with his team. But it was nice that Delvet was humble enough to, you know, acknowledge his mistakes and to take in, you know, what the team felt and what they think would work for them.
And that's it's a unique thing that a lot of trainers don't do.
Yes.
You know, a lot of trainers will take responsibility the minute you lose weight. But
exactly.
If you're not losing weight, if there's a breakdown or a failure, they want to blame the client and, you know, the person.
Yeah.
And so it was really just nice to see him step up, take responsibility, and then follow that up in the next workout with actually kind of being that person he was aiming to be.
Yeah. Now let's talk about Whitney. So for the weigh-in, everybody seemed to lose, you know, some more significant than others. But unfortunately for Whitney, she didn't lose anything.
Yeah.
And do you even think that could be possible, where you're working that out that hard and you have chefs cooking for you, you're eating clean? What's going on? How do you not lose anything?
So that's what I thought. I'm going to have to go back and look into what they have in that house because I'm thinking to myself, it's impossible, because I see the workout. You see it on camera. Even to fake that on camera, you'd
be
working out.
Even like a couple ounces, you would think.
And so, so they must be eating poorly, or just the portion control must be insane.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize until the second episode when they had the taco truck that maybe they are giving them sort of, you know, temptations where they can make something healthy or they can go the opposite direction, and they're choosing to go the opposite direction, or they're not watching how much they are eating, you know.
My only, I guess, conclusion of this situation is maybe she was on her menstrual cycle, you know, because I'll tell you, as a woman, you can work out and you can even retain that water and you gain weight and you're like beating yourself up. But then again, you know, it's
just the level of working out that I saw there.
Yeah, that's true. I know, that's even pushing it. You would think at least a little.
Yeah.
But I bet if she would have stayed on the following week, she would have had a great
dramatic.
Yeah, because that's usually how it goes. If you don't have a great week 1 week, the following week it's like bam, 9-7 pounds. So it's unfortunate that she's already sent home, so we're not going to be able to see that.
Yeah,
so.
But you know, it's good to see that she seems like she's still on the right track in like the post show, you know, deal.
Yeah.
I love that they're doing that now.
Yeah,
with
that's nice.
Post-show thing.
It's nice to see. Of course, I don't think they would show somebody who wasn't doing great.
Who knows? Yeah, who knows? But it's just always good to see them.
It's really nice to know that, okay, they went into the real world and they're still succeeding and using the tips and tricks that they learned on the show and still motivated.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was pretty cool. And now we see Delvet's team even more motivated this second part of the show because they weren't doing so well. And I feel like it's a little embarrassing because Delvet, he's a pro. He's been on, you know, Biggest Loser for quite a few seasons now. And this is only Jen's second season, and she's already kind of showing off. So,
this was the episode that showed why he's such a pro, right? Mm-hmm. You know, he really came through with the workout. And, I mean, I was almost cheering, you know, like that whole atmosphere of them really enjoying working out, them really wanting to work hard, not for Delvet, but for themselves as well. So it was good to see that change, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. I loved the challenges in this one that were just so practical.
Mm-hmm.
So they had the taco truck, the food truck challenge.
And let me tell you, I love me some taco food trucks. So I think if I was on the losing team, I would have just indulged. But let's talk about that challenge. Yeah. So they had the food truck, and what were they challenged to do with the truck?
So they had to get these trucks over the line, and whoever got it over faster had to go back with the other teams. And the last six, all six of them pulled the last one. And so Jen's team won again. But you know, Dalvet's team, they were able to keep their morale because it's a new team. It's like they have new energy right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that was great. But then watching the challenge, I was just so shocked. And watching the dichotomy between this group that got to get the Lorena Garcia healthy taco lesson.
She's like a famous chef. Yeah. And, of course, she's making amazing tacos. But they're healthy tacos. Yeah.
And then watching the taco truck and then everyone making these really, really poor choices. Yeah.
I just... If I was on the losing team, I would want to indulge, but realistically, I would say, I'm not going to eat this. I would rather skip and not eat lunch than eat something unhealthy, because what would be daunting to me is, what if I get on that scale and I lose it for everybody? It wouldn't be worth it.
Yeah, and you see that they weren't connecting on that level. Maybe they haven't been in that kind of underdog, you know. Well, no, they had been in an underdog situation before, so I don't know why they just kind of...
That's what I didn't understand. Everybody was eating the tacos. I'm like, dude, you just lost. How are you going to eat some tacos?
And you could have made a healthy meal with what they had on that truck. You could have made something healthier, you know. But yeah, Rich with the portion control, that was insane.
Yeah.
Toy. Watching Toy make those choices, because I'm rooting for Toy, and then it's really hard to root for her when she's still making the same poor, poor choices.
And then her excuse is, well, I haven't learned enough to know better.
Yeah, you know enough to say that. If you have that presence of mind,
exactly.
Then you know.
And especially that we just went through this whole classroom food challenge where you're learning, okay, you want to choose this over this. So I feel like... I don't know. That scares me about her, because although we're rooting for her...
And we feel like she's... You want to feel like she's rooting just as hard for herself.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like she is. I feel like she's, again, enabling herself. She's using excuses. Why? I don't know better. No, you're on The Biggest Loser. Yeah. You know better.
Yeah, I think that's where this episode got real for me was... Because you just always assume everyone's on the same page. You know, we're trying to lose this weight. It means a lot. It had this kind of consequence. But then this got real. You saw how hard it is just day to day. They know they're being filmed. They know they're on the show, and they're still making poor choices.
I hope we get to see one episode where they're in the house and there's cameras, and we get to see them make poor choices.
Yeah, just like,
you know, late night going into the refrigerator, because that's the real trick. I think, you know, it should be easy for them in front of the cameras to, you know, put on that face, that they're into it. But I want to see late at night when they wake up at 2 a.m. and
that's
they're starving.
Yeah.
You know, are they getting out of bed and going to the refrigerator?
Yeah, and like now with Colby having to vote Hope off, or with Hope getting voted off, you know, how is he going to cope now with that? You know, and so that'll be interesting to see, because I thought he was one of these stronger players. You know,
yeah,
so
I did too. Yeah. Now you have done bodybuilding, and I'm pretty sure what you ate was impeccable. But did you indulge in cheat meals?
Yeah, I did all the time.
Really?
I did all the time.
Like,
I
mean, all the time.
Yeah, because for me, it was almost like an 80-90 principle, where if I was eating clean 80-90% of the time, the other 10% was all right. And there's 10%, I could have that a little bit each day, really. So, I just made sure I ate clean for the most part. For me, competing was more about, can I do this and still maintain a healthy, balanced lifestyle?
Yeah.
So it wasn't like going to extreme.
Do you think the contestants on the show, do you think they're partaking in cheat meals on their own? Like,
I'm certain they must be cheating, because for Whitney to lose no weight, you have Hope lost 2 pounds, I think, each week. You know, for these really small amounts of weight versus what we're seeing them do in the gym.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm assuming they're doing those workouts daily. It doesn't make sense.
But they did have big numbers on the first episode. And like I said, usually when you have big numbers the first week, the second week you don't really have great numbers.
I agree, but for the amount of weight I see these guys with, 7 pounds, it's very low.
And just kind of an inside scoop for you guys at home, I've been doing this after show for a while, so I've interviewed a lot of contestants who are actually on the show. And after speaking with them, they tell me they're working out literally 7 to 8 hours a day.
Oh, and so for those kind of types of weight loss, you know, they're just eating a lot of that.
7 to 8 hours
That's crazy.
A day.
That's insane.
And it's to the point when, even when they get injured, I interviewed one guy from last season. He had like a knee injury. He was in the bike in the water working out. Like, you keep going.
Yeah, the workouts look intense. So, I think if they're not getting that kind of weight loss, because I've seen people at that size lose dramatic amounts of weight, but it's really the diet that it's coming from.
And I so agree with that. I think, you know, even with somebody who has a large amount of body fat, if they diet alone, they'll still see significant weight loss alone, even without the working out. So the fact that, you know, they are working out hard, there's something.
And I think maybe they cast the show for people that really need it, people that need to have that mental change. You know, there are some people that, you know, are going it'll click eventually. And maybe these are the people that needed to get this kind of professional help to change that mental mindset.
Yeah, you guys out there watching, please rate, subscribe, give us 5 stars on iTunes. Also, comment in the YouTube section, comment area. Let us know what you're thinking of these episodes. You know, did you want Whitney to stay? You know, how do you feel about Dolvet's team or Dolvet's coaching style? Do you two struggle with, you know, choosing better nutrition choices? Let us know how you're feeling. Let us know what you think of our after show.
Yeah.
What do you want to see? Who do you want to see on here? Do you want us to call Dolvet? Do you want us to call Jen?
Let's get them on the line, right?
Yeah. All right. So let's get back. So let's talk about the healthy tacos. Do you remember what the differences that there was between the unhealthy tacos and the healthy tacos that Lorena put in them?
Well, I do remember the lettuce, you know, and so using the lettuce wraps are great as opposed to a flour or even a corn tortilla. And then they even had salad on the taco truck that they weren't really taking advantage of. And so I think tacos can be healthy, and I like that they showed that juxtaposition. Even with the earlier episode where Bob showed the turkey wrap, the turkey burger, and yeah, so I think it's good for them to see that you can be healthy and it can be delicious, you know.
Yeah.
And so hopefully they take that, you know, back home with them and they see how easy it is to, you know, like carrying the meat with you to a barbecue or something like that.
Yeah.
You know,
there's so many options out there. I think sometimes we get stuck on, like, even pizza. There's cauliflower pizza that you can make that's pretty good. I actually made this morning, I made protein pancakes.
Oh, nice.
You know, out of oatmeal, almond milk, eggs, you know, put lots of fruit. So there's so many options to foods. Like, I just looked up a recipe for cauliflower mac and cheese.
Oh, nice. And I've had some before.
Oh, have you?
Absolutely.
Okay,
delicious.
I haven't made it yet, so I'm excited to eat that. But, you know, just I would say do your research if you're struggling at home of how do I eat clean without being bored. If you are sick, you're sick of the smell of tilapia and asparagus, you know, you can spice it up. There's different things that you can have. Even I made, because I love my Latin food, I made cauliflower rice and beans. Oh, I baked my plantains instead of frying them. So there's different things that you could do
with coconut oil.
Exactly. You just kind of have to be creative and put that energy into taking the time to, you know, look for those recipes.
And that's what it is, you know, going vegan, I've had to become very creative so it doesn't get bland. And going vegan, you have to be more creative than, you know, if you're not. But you can do it. And it just takes work. And I think we forget, we don't like to connect that kind of work to our health and to what means something to us. But if we think about it, if we put in the creativity just to make our own food, then that's going to give you benefits long after, you know, you're making that particular dish.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, it's about...
We have a guest. He's here. He's back from the gym. He made his way, cleaned himself up. Welcome, Chris, to the show.
Welcome. Thank you.
How's it going?
Thanks for holding down the fort. You guys are awesome.
So what did you work on tonight?
What did I work on
tonight?
Did
you do upper body, lower body?
That's a great question. No, I did do yoga this morning, so I'm very happy about
that. Nice.
Yeah.
So you're feeling at peace.
Not quite. Yeah. You know, I was stuck in traffic on the way. Yeah. But I was teaching a seminar, actually, just before I came in and ran over a little bit.
A weight loss seminar?
I'm going to lose weight because of the fact that I had to run to get here. Anyway, how's it going?
Good. Yeah, we just kind of broke down both episodes. I guess now that you're here, let's hear your thoughts. It was a 2-hour week this week as far as, you know, the episodes back to back.
Right.
What did you think that? Do you think there was enough, like, juicy moments to put 2 episodes together? Or do you think, it could have been better?
You know what? I think there's been a lot of juice. There's been, is this the popular consensus here? Or is
it? Yeah, good stuff,
Okay, I think there's been a lot of juice. And just the emotional and heart-wrenching moments. And then hearing, you know, I think it was Colby who was talking about the fact that he had started to put on weight once. Was it Colby or Rob that had prostate cancer.
Rob
had the prostate cancer, and he started talking about that and how he had lost somebody that was close to him, and that's how he put the weight on. There were so many emotional moments that they're really pulling that out, but yeah. It makes sense. You know, it makes sense that somebody would put on weight after a significant emotional event like that. I get it.
What do you think about Dolvet having a heart to heart with his team? Now we talked last episode. Oh, I was like, you know, he's going a little too hard. How do you feel about him kind of coming to his team and having a heart to heart with him?
I knew you were going to call us on that.
Yeah, of course.
I think that's what they needed to do. They pulled out a win after that, which is good. You got to roll with the punches. Mm-hmm. And he was training hard. And I remember him watching the first episode that thinking that, wow, that's interesting, because he's such a sincere guy as a trainer. He really cares about people. Mm-hmm. And then when he get in their training, it seemed like he changed to drill sergeant. Come on, you can do it. And for me, that would work with me. He could pull that off with me. Mm-hmm. With the ladies, maybe not so much. Mm-hmm. And he had to back off a little bit. And in doing so, they developed the camaraderie and the trust that he felt like they needed to do. So it worked.
Yeah. And I think with Dolvet, too, like I try not to be too hard on him myself, because I think when you're training anybody, you have to get to know your clients. You have to get to know your team. So, you know, he didn't know them yet. So he was like, okay, this is what I think's going to work. But I love the fact, and we spoke about it earlier, that he stood up and he was like, okay, I'm going to own it. You know, I was a little too hard. It didn't work. What can I do to help? So that was nice to see that Dolvet is, you know, like you said, he's sincere. He's sincere enough to check in with his team to see what's going on. And that's awesome.
He took responsibility. I think that's what you really like.
So that was great.
That's good leadership. They say, you know, if you make a mistake, apologize once and then move on.
Now, did you learn anything with the first challenge where they had to kind of guess how much, you know, each food contained of calories and fat?
Were you guys shocked? I missed your response.
Oh, I was so shocked.
I was like, you're kidding me.
I was like, no, not the mac and cheese. Not the mac and cheese.
Well, that's just wishful thinking, though. I was wrong on everyone.
Everything, were you?
Everyone, yeah.
That is funny. That is really funny. What was most surprising, though?
I thought the quesadilla, which would have been really, really heavy. I thought that the sodium wasn't something that I was thinking about so much. But the Alfredo, when they ate that, was over 2,000 calories. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, you got to figure, that's almost like mac and cheese. The Alfredo sauce is all cheese.
Yeah.
And then you have the carbs and then the butter and the salt and pepper.
But when you think of 3,500 calories for a pound, you're going, oh, my God.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like things that we take for granted, that we take for granted. Yeah. So for me, did I learn something? Absolutely.
Yeah. And then it got even more serious when they went into the autopsy room. What did you think of that scene?
Have you guys already?
We did. We just want to know your opinion.
Thanks for including me. The whole autopsy thing, I mean, it was serious. It was, and I get what they were looking to do. They were looking to change the associations that people have to things. And one of the things, I think it was Brian Tracy who first, the professional speaker that first brought this into my consciousness, but he said, you know, all of our lives are determined based upon what we associate pain and pleasure to. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody associates more pain to saving than they do, and they associate pleasure to spending, they're going to live one sort of a life. Whereas if it was the inverse or the reverse, it would be different. It's the same thing here. They're looking to change the deep associations that people have to either the food or to the fat. So when they poured the fat into the tub.
And the visuals.
Yeah.
Ooh. Were you shocked?
It was just like, is she ever going to stop?
I know, like, when's the tub stop?
It was hard to watch. Going. Yeah, right. I'm like, oh, that's so good. The sugar, though.
Yeah. The sugar was, the sugar blew me away. And then it was 1.2 pounds of sugar he was drinking
a day.
Daily.
A day.
Yikes. So it was like 460 pounds, I think, that they put on the table.
Yeah. Over 400 pounds of sugar.
This big, just a big bend. And I think that a lot of people don't get that, how much of an effect that can have with sodas and stuff like that.
But I kind of blame us. Where are we in society that we are so disconnected that we don't even know what is in the food that we are consuming on a daily basis?
Yeah.
It's startling. And there was a great film called That Sugar Film that's really good and shows us how much sugar that we're all consuming.
I haven't seen that film.
It's astounding and how easy it is to consume that sugar. So it's something we all have to be cognizant of and really watch.
Yeah, that's just, I don't know. I try to eat clean, but even now after watching that, I feel like I'm really going to jump into. But you know what's even more scary is that I like reading labels, but sometimes they don't put everything on the labels.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah. It's
like, I'm going to start my own farm. So I know what I'm putting in my chickens, and I know.
That's what you have to do these days, really.
You got to become a farmer. Yeah. Like, the only way you're going to be healthy and live long. Like, it's crazy.
No, it's wild that it's wild that we are living in such a fast food society. Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, I went and I moved to Bali for like 2 years. And
did you?
Oh, wow. God, and it was magical. You know, they make fresh juices, that's and I was cool. juicing all the time, and I felt good, and it was easy to eat right. It's a lot harder to eat right, and, you know, when you're running around and what you got are the fast food restaurants. Yeah. And hence the reason why they took them to the mall, I'm sure. And as you had mentioned before, Fallon, when you talked about having all those temptations around them and how you thought that was important for them to do there, because that's what we run into in real life. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to eat a great diet with the fast food society that we're living
and
in, for
you're
sure.
bombarded with so much information. You're not sure what's healthy, and then what's healthy changes on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. So you're always
right.
Not sure.
Yeah.
You're reading yesterday's book or today's book.
And that's the thing. I feel like you have to fully throw yourself into this. If you're going to do it, they say it's a lifestyle because you really, like you said, you have to research on your own. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm constantly grabbing magazines or Googling or trying new diets, even on myself, to see what's working, what's not working. You know, it's definitely always changing. So you have to be on top of it. Yeah. But talk about Bali more.
Bali. Oh, you want to hear about Bali?
do they? I know they do probably yoga and meditate there.
It's
but what
yoga
about,
mecca. It's, yeah.
But what about like resistance training? Is that something that they do out there?
Are you looking for a move?
No. I'm curious because I lived in Dubai for a while.
Right.
I lived in the Dominican Republic and it's fascinating. Like even just between the East Coast and here in LA,
right.
you know, the lifestyle is different. So what was it like over there?
You know, it's magic. I mean, like LA, there's a big contrast. When coming back to LA from, because I was in Ubud, Bali, which is the spiritual center of Bali.
Did you have like an eat, pray, love moment over there?
Yeah, I think I had a little of everything. Yeah. But it's very easy to eat right. They have so many restaurants. There's a little place like called Alchemy where they'll make you a beautiful salad with just the best organic ingredients, and it's so easy to do it right. It is a yoga mecca. You don't see, there's not, people are lean, people are trim, they're very health and fitness oriented. People go there usually when they're having some sort of a crisis in their life to just find themselves again.
Yeah, that's all I was asking.
That's why I was there. Yes.
But
to come back over here, and I don't mean to say this to my fellow Los Angelians, but it can be, you know, it's a little more pretentious, a little bit more about how you look and stuff, which they just don't care about over there. You know, if you can get, if the women shave their armpits, it's a good day, or it's but not in their minds, right?
Yeah.
So if it's a different type of environment, I don't mean to offend anybody with that.
Yeah.
Fallon, if you've got hairy armpits, I apologize.
I don't. Thank you. I don't, just to clear the air.
Yes, but it really is a spiritual and a mecca for. Getting to know yourself more, falling in love with yourself, which is the problem that most of these people are facing. They're facing this issue of not being in love with themselves, of not being, and not in a vain way, but in a way that takes care of their body temple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think people out there eat healthy because they love their body and they love themselves, that they don't want to pollute their body, their temple. Do you think that's the reason why?
I think definitely. I think they definitely got that going on. There's a strong spiritual vibe out there. It's an amazing place to go if you're mm-hmm. looking for transformation, if you want to slow down for a while. Mm-hmm. And I think the whole lifestyle plays into it, because they've got, you know, it's not just yoga, it's meditation, mm-hmm. it's everything that's going to get you more in tuned with yourself. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think all of those practices, quite frankly, could probably do these people a lot of good on the Biggest Loser, because if, you know, we know that they're eating emotionally, we know that they're acting out when they do, and something goes on in their life and there's some trigger point that's going to cause them to go reach for the hamburger, mm-hmm. even though they were taught to eat turkey burgers mm-hmm. by Bob with lettuce, right?
Yeah.
And so because of the fact that they're doing that, if they were to bring in and weave in practices like meditation, my mm-hmm. bet is that they might get to the root cause of some of the acting out. That could be kind of cool.
Interesting. That would be a cool episode. I don't think all the, you know, seasons that I've watched Biggest Loser, I don't think they ever really focused on meditating. It was more of workout, 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 yeah. eat clean, workout. But I wonder if they kind of balanced it out and did something like that, if it would have an effect on their weight loss. What do you think?
Well, of course. And I think you kind of see it a little bit from Bob and the trainers, that mm-hmm. emotional connection that they're having with them. That's part and parcel of, like, meditation and, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of, like, getting to the root of the problem. I mm-hmm. think they're showing a balance of that now. And so mm-hmm. I think that, you know, if they found a way to weave that in, I think that would be great. And maybe they will this season. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. So how many taco trucks have you moved in your life? Or, you're strong. How many taco trucks have you pushed along?
Yeah, I've chased them down, but now.
What do you mean you're strong looking at him? Yeah,
you're both strong. I thought that was just an interesting challenge. It's yeah. funny the different types of challenges that they come up yeah, with. No. I don't think, you know, any of them will ever have to pull a taco truck.
Oh, you don't think we're going to have yeah. to do that?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. So it's
a practical life skill.
Yeah, it was a little interesting to see that. Although the visual was pretty cool, yeah. It was nice to see them come together as a team.
And Roberto and Luis, too, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
That's so funny. You know, I've got a friend, his name's, I don't know if you're martial arts fans or anything, but a friend of mine, his name's Hickson Gracie, and he was the champion of the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu family. He had fought like 400 fights, never defeated, and they did a movie about him called Choke. And when they did the movie, you know, he had regular ways of working out, but for the movie they said, we want you to do crazy things, like put this band across your head and be pulling a truck with it. And they so they literally put things in there that people think he really does.
Yeah.
But it was just for the movie.
Not a practical life skill.
Yeah.
So when we make our movie, we're gonna yeah. have to pull some taco trucks.
Yes. By the I'll be inside eating the tacos. Yeah. Healthy tacos. Yes. You guys will be pulling me.
Special episode.
All right. So for the I guess the final weigh-in, Dolvet's team pulls it together and wins, and it kind of shows us, you know, the whole heart to heart.
I knew you were going to yeah. take credit for that.
Really worked, and then Hope had to go home, which was really hard to see, because yeah. I'm like, you know, Hope and Colby, they're a duo, you know, they're husband and wife, and for one of them to have to go through this experience alone, I was just like, no.
And what was she doing? Because Colby had some really dramatic weight loss, and so it was just like, what? And they're together a lot of, you know, most of the time, so I wonder what was happening.
I don't want to blame it on a female-male thing, but right. I honestly believe that,
is
you know,
she about to say hormones or something?
I said that earlier too.
But I mean, which might have been a valid thing, but yeah, I mean.
But also, yeah. you know, I don't remember exactly what her body fat percentage was compared to his, but all that stuff comes into play.
Yeah, but she only lost, what, the 2 pounds for 2 weeks,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I've got it written down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was 2 pounds the first week and 2 pounds the second week, so I was just
yeah,
like,
it was not much. Yeah, they had a couple of them that
I wonder.
Let's see. Hope, although I got that she continues to lose weight. She lost 32 pounds total.
Oh.
Okay. Since she started.
So that's three
so
episodes.
So she's still going. Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, I was disappointed to see that happen. And yeah, I mean, we'll see how Colby fares in the future.
Yeah, these were just kind of the follow-ups on them, because Whitney had left as well. She's lost a total of 31 pounds.
Oh, yeah, today.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I'll be honest. I wanted to see something more dramatic these episodes. I wanted to see somebody quit, or I wanted to see,
I think we saw that breaking point, right? With Felicia.
Felicia?
Yeah, that was, to me, if Dalvet did not respond to her call in the right way.
Yeah, that could be it.
It could have gone downhill, because there was a breaking point.
This is true. I don't know. I was really... I feel like the first episode, maybe because it was so emotionally charged, I was in tears and I was feeling it. And this episode, I'm like...
You wanted to cry, but didn't quite go there.
Yeah, no. Or I wanted to be angry or something. Like, I feel like if you're going to give me two episodes, I want it to be, like, something that I've never seen on Biggest Loser before. I think I'm such a fan of the show. I, like, watch so many that I could almost predict.
I think it's coming, though. I think they started to show you the first few signs of she's looking at Richard, why the extra portion? You know,
that's true.
He went back for another taco.
Yeah, we're starting to see a little bit of them on their own time and their bad behavior.
Yeah, their personalities. And introduction. And I want to see some contestants fight with each other.
I think you're going to see it. I
do. I'm sorry.
Well, as people start to get split up,
if you're going to give me reality TV, I want it real.
You want the real thing.
when you start your weight loss and it just clicks for you quicker than it does for the next person, you're going to be looking at them like, why aren't you picking it up? Why aren't you picking your weight?
You know, just being on opposite teams, I wonder if they're going to kind of...
shake things up a little bit.
Because now that Dolvit's team won, I wonder if Jen's team is going to get jealous. I wonder what it's like between the trainers. I think that's a hard...
I haven't seen that much between
them. Yeah.
I don't know how much they interact, but I think they both know it's to some degree out of their hands, because it's always going to be that person. So I don't see it getting too competitive, but...
And I think it's hard it's like you want everybody to... do well. So I think I would feel guilty if I was a trainer on the show and I'm hoping the other team doesn't lose weight. Yeah, you know, you would feel bad because you're like, wait, everybody is here to change their life.
Yeah. That's the tough part about doing a show like The Biggest Loser is because everybody wants to make their life better. And then it's like, okay, how are we going to set this show up so that it has the drama that captures the audience, but still let them be winners, right? Yeah. It's like, so it's a tough premise. They make it work pretty darn well. Yeah. I'm still engaged.
I think that's the fun part. It's, you know, even when people go home and there's a little drama, at the end of the day, everyone is there for a positive purpose and people are taking home lessons regardless.
Yeah.
So you don't really feel that bad because it's still a positive in every way.
Right. Yeah. And they're entertaining first and educating second, but they're doing a pretty good job on ratcheting up the education. Yeah.
And I think that's key with this whole process. I think it's important to have the weight loss, but if they don't grasp the tools that they need to learn, all that weight loss doesn't matter because it's going to go out the window and they're going to gain the weight back. So I feel like they really need to, you know, take this seriously. I don't think yet, just from what we've seen, I don't think they realize, you know, everything
the
that
gravity.
Exactly.
So,
but especially when it comes to the food and nutrition.
I think we'll see it
soon. And we've already started to see it. And see, that's what, with this episode that I really started to appreciate, even more so than the last episode, was them really looking to change the associations of the people. Right, with pouring the fat in the thing and then telling the guy, this is your death, this is when you're going to die. And that was Colby, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's 56, so he's the oldest of the mix. And so they said, "Hey, this is your death."
Oh no, that was Rob. Was it Rob?
Well, yeah, Rob.
Was it Rob?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, where am I?
We're still learning all their names. We'll get it together.
So it was on. But what was the date? The 14th of December, 2020. We got that part right.
Yeah. Right.
And they said, "This is when you're going to die." Statistics say, and that's that's not that far away.
That isn't. So that's really 4 years away.
But
if that's not in your face, I don't know what is.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And I think we gave it with Fit with Fallon.
Say that again.
With Fit with Fallon.
What about it?
We gave earlier our different. We didn't want to. Let's get yours in.
Yeah.
Oh, what's your handle?
Oh, my handle.
Yeah.
You can reach me at Chris Howard Live or LegendaryLivingDaily.com is a good place to reach me as
well. What can we find on your website?
If you go to legendarylivingdaily.com, I've got free quotes and sayings and motivational stuff that go out 365 days a year. So that's it, legendarylivingdaily.com. And it's got all sorts of things on every aspect of your life, how to make it better.
I'm going to have to check it out. Now let's talk about predictions. What do we predict? It's our prediction music. You guys didn't hear it last time.
That is way too cool. Did that happen last
this time?
No, no, no. We set our predictions, but the music didn't go off. But that is our prediction music. Awesome. Right.
I did not predict that.
You guys at home watching this, you know, you knew the prediction music. All right, we'll start with you first. What do you think predictions are for next episode?
Predictions for next episode. Well, I was, you know, I didn't quite get the Felicia thing. I thought he might be able to turn her around. Kind of went the other way. Yeah. So I don't know if I'm the best person to predict right now. I predict drama. That was the easy way out.
Yeah.
Drama. No, I think that we're going to see. I mean, Team Dole Vet was great. They were able to wrap it back around and pull out a win, so that was great. But I think that as the teams begin to lose their partners, that's going to switch things up and create more drama.
All right, quick wrap up. We're getting outroed from our show.
I think you're going to see a lot of drama with Dolvet's team. I think it's going to come back around, whether or not it's reverted back to that kind of, you know, Uber Commando.
Yeah.
And then I think you're also going to see some inter-team stuff with Jen's team, because some people are going to be getting it and some people won't be getting it.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, why aren't you guys keeping up?
So I predict Dolvet's team is going to make another win episode. I think they're going to go on a little streak. Quick fitness tip, because that's what we're going to do. My fitness tip is portion control. I think, you know, instead of grabbing for the big plate, go for the smaller plate. If you're going to have chocolate, have one piece, not the whole thing. Once you learn about portion control, you know how to moderate your food accordingly, then you can indulge and have things without going overboard. You guys can find me online at fitwithfallon.com. Your fit tip.
Quick tip, if you're hungry for sweets, go for fruit first. If you still want the sweets, have them afterwards, but go for fruit first. It'll normally cut your craving.
Mm.
Shaka strong if you want more.
Yeah.
Shaka strong. And a quick fitness tip would be weave that meditation in. I think if you're able to get two times a day, even if it's 5 minutes, where you just quiet your mind, you sit in silence, that can begin to move out into your life, where a lot of the cravings and a lot of the things that would drive you to grab the food can disappear.
Nice. Well, great tips. I'm going to take these into account. We'll see you next week, same time, same place, on AfterBuzz TV. Make sure to tweet us, subscribe, rate 5 stars, and we will see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.